guitar. It's
game time.
Quiet, please. I am analyzing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Is the next step the transplantation of the human brain?
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Stand by for action.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Okay.
Remember, we're not dealing with an intelligence on our own level.
Bring in the logic probe.
Ooh. End of line.
Welcome back to the Gamers Haven podcast. We are all together, and we are all on the new mixer.
Which sounds awesome.
Which is very nice, yes, yes. Is everybody's mics on and everything, I think so, yes.
I hope so. Yes.
Yeah, I hope so.
All righty.
It's not too bad.
Is the thing going up and down?
The thing is going up and down. Watch. Ooh, up and down.
Scary.
We've just lost all of our viewers with that one, really. Viewers, I hope
alienating
not viewers.
Our audience.
Really,
one
listeners,
number at a time.
Listeners. Lost all our listeners. But that's okay. At least we're not from Ecuador.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah. Tonight we are going to talk a little bit about running one-shot games. So that's what we're going to talk about. And then we got got a three-parter for you, and then a bunch of random encounters that I've been saving up because it's been a while since we recorded because of, you know, school and life and all that. We are recording today on Wednesday, December 16th.
1943,
apparently.
I don't think they believe us.
Was this house around in 1943?
No, it was built in 1969.
So, yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah. It's going to really suck.
It's cold.
It is cold.
And there's like a foot and a half of snow on the ground because it's 1943 in Kansas when it used to snow.
Yeah, I'm going to go get back in the time machine and go back to...
Damn global warming, take away our snow. Stupid polar bears.
Anyway, we'll be right back after this. Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. With a huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.noblenight.com or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items. All right, Jeremy's talking about eating beach people with bad tattoos. Now,
polar bears
eating beach people with bad tattoos. Now, does that mean that the polar bears are eating people with the bad tattoos or eating people just with bad tattoos?
Just with bad tattoos.
Just with bad tattoos. So it's eating the people and the tattoos aren't eating the people. Okay.
Possibly with dipping sauce.
With dipping sauce? Okay.
Most polar bears I know are pretty much for plain.
Any particular type of dipping sauce
probably
polar bears?
Honey mustard.
Honey mustard? Okay. I would figure, since they're from the polar regions, they'd probably like, you know, some sweet and sour sauce.
Possibly.
Maybe, you know, fish
maybe
oil.
Some hot sauce.
Some hot sauce,
hot
too.
Sauce,
you know, really barbecue.
Oils, barbecue.
Who doesn't like barbecue, really?
Yeah. So, one shots. Yeah.
Yes, one shots and barbecue. What you do with the one shot is you put some nice barbecue sauce on it, and then you grill it up.
And then you serve it to your gamers, and you never hear about it again.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think the polar bears can surf down at the beach?
Sweet.
Why do I suddenly have bad images of some horrible kids movie with surfing?
I'm
going
to have to go revise the Keep on the Shadowfell again and remove all the bullywugs and put in
bears.
Surfing polar bears.
The Bullywogs were bad enough. Jesus Christ. Four hits, and I went from full hit points to 2 hit points. 4 hits! It's like, and we spit on you, and then we hit you as we force you out of our square, and you're down to 2 hit points.
That's okay. That's why you have healing surges.
Gee, I didn't realize I was going to go through 6 healing surges and 1 fight.
That's because they're Bullywogs.
You suck.
They're obviously the most powerful creature in the book.
Jeez, we're first level characters, and the first fight, I almost die. It's like, yeah, I think we need to level up somehow, like now. Fortunately, it's not a one-shot.
Yeah, you want to know the scary thing is I didn't give him a surprise round either.
I know. That would have been really
Smurf.
And there's a Smurf for everybody to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. I better mark that down here real quick, you know.
Anyway, we're talking about one-shots today, running one-shots. I think we've all done them in some shape or form before.
We all ran games at CantCon, so we've all run one-shots now.
Yeah, technically, yes. Yes, we did all run stuff at...
So, opinions on setting up for one-shots. What do you think? I find that the more I plan for it, usually the worse things go.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially if you know who you're going to be running stuff for, you know, 9 times out of 10, you could sit down and plan out the one-shot, and then, you know, they'll go... You give them A through D, they choose E, invariably. Often I found one shots will grow into campaigns, but I find it really hard just to do a one off. It really, I guess, it really depends on the system you do it in.
Yeah, it does depend on the system. Cause
like a one off in Paranoia is much simpler than say a one off in D&D.
Paranoia is fine.
Well, how can you run a campaign in Paranoia?
Very carefully. Yeah. It's not easy.
It's
not the way we, not the way I run it, not the way anyone's playing it.
Yeah, because I would almost...
There are different ways to play and run Paranoia that are, you could go much darker, but I like the zapping.
Now you could run a series of one-time games, mm-hmm. one-shots, with Paranoia that just happen to have the same characters.
That's true.
So it's like episodes, basically.
Yes.
They have nothing to do with the other one.
And just not have an overarching storyline.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But,
some of the indie games, I think, are better... I shouldn't say better, but seem to be okay with one-shot.
Uh-huh.
As an example, not just Paranoia, but there's another one we had tried from Aaron... Trying to think.
Asylum.
Asylum's another good one that is a one shot, I think, or a series of one shots. And I guess you could do an over. Yeah, those are probably like 300 points a piece.
Yeah, probably.
But anyway.
What are all those cookies?
Yeah. I'm sure. Actually, I'm sure they're not that bad, but I just want to keep them out of my sight right now, or else I'm just going to eat them.
Apparently, I have not fed the guard cats enough today because this one won't leave me alone. He's up on the desk trying to eat the microphone.
Yes.
But Asylum,
Boris is big enough to eat the microphone.
Asylum, I think, is a good example.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like one-shots of like, The Masquerade or any White Wolf.
I really don't think, like, D&D doesn't really... you can do one-shots with D&D, but I think it's... It's the very nature of Dungeons & Dragons.
It requires planning.
Harder. Yeah, well, I mean, it would be more of just here's a dungeon crawl. Simple dungeon crawl.
If you're
going to
do that
because, because
you can't do a big dungeon in one night.
I wouldn't even
it
depends on the night.
Yeah.
If you decide to do 8 hours of, gaming,
I can't do 8 hours anymore.
No, neither can
I. I'm an old man.
I could do eight hours
with enough caffeine and enough time, but there's just not enough time is the problem. But... I wouldn't do character creation, though. I would just have pre-generated.
Yeah, pre-gen. I would say with a one-shot, unless it's a set group of characters you've run with before, I would say definitely pre-gen characters. Although, you can do, say you're having an ongoing campaign, would you say a one-shot is...
Within the
campaign, like take one person out and do a one-shot with them, sort of as a sub-story.
Yeah, you
inside.
Can do that. Or
really
even,
a solo?
Even solos can be fine, though sometimes kind of creepy.
Yes, depends on the players, obviously.
But I was thinking more of like you have an ongoing campaign and then suddenly you decide to do April Fool's.
Yeah.
you know, things like that, where it's a one shot within the campaign, mm-hmm. which is fine. I remember
been good at doing those.
Palladium is not good for one shots at all.
That's because it takes 6 hours to make a freaking character.
It's like a 6 hour character.
Shadowrun would not be good for a one shot.
No.
Only if you had pre-generated characters. How long did it take us to make those characters?
6 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
6 weeks to make six characters?
Yeah. We were going to make eight, and then we just gave up.
The Palladium one was like 6 to 8 hours character creation.
Ugh. And then it was like an hour and a half of play.
And we all finally died. My brother decided, well, he attacked something, and then he got, I think, shot or knocked down. And then he pointed out he was carrying enough nitroglycerin to take out, I don't know, the
Mars.
East Coast.
Yeah. It was like 10 or 11 square
this
city
is,
blocks.
This is Palladium we're talking about. It's enough to take out the moon.
It vaporized everything.
All the zombie
One
monsters.
One of our players was pissed because of all the time it took to create the characters. I was like, I'm going to bed.
I fell asleep before the game. Yeah. I actually even started my character.
You were sucked into
the
sewers. You're like, character creation's a...
Yeah.
My brother and the other
so
player
exhausted.
Were like,
oh, Palladium,
what time is it? I don't know. It's getting close to, like, I don't know, 4 a.m. or something. Okay, you're in the sewer. There's zombies.
We were playing that Supernatural game that they had.
Was it Nightbane?
No.
It was Beyond the Supernatural?
Beyond the Supernatural.
Kind of. Cool. It was more of just, I had zombies.
Okay.
And some of them had guns.
Well, it wasn't even you running the game. You were actually playing in it.
No, I ran that one.
Did you run that one?
Yep.
Well, I fell asleep before we even started that.
You got eaten.
I was exhausted.
You got sucked into the sewer.
This is before the Brady Bunch soaked up the cat urine.
Surprisingly, though, you then walked out of town.
Yeah.
At the very end, after everybody else was dead, you were the only one who survived.
Yeah, I got sucked into the sewer. Everyone's like, he's dead. And it's like, I'm the only one that makes it out.
You really, any game that lends itself more to an episodic type of a setting.
Or Hero Quest.
Mutants and Masterminds would make a good one-shotter.
Well, Hero Quest, you're talking the board game, right?
So?
Yeah, I know. It's just there is a Hero Quest RPG. It has nothing to do with the board game.
There's a Hero Quest RPG?
It has nothing to do with board game, yes.
But can it
How
be
did
a one-shot
they do that?
Hero Quest?
Sierra had their game called Hero Quest, So You Want to Be a Hero, and they got sued.
I got nothing.
That's lame.
Let's see, what else? Most board games can be one-shot. That would work. There we go.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Yeah, the Call of Cthulhu board game, Arkham...
Call of Cthulhu's not bad for one-shots. If you want to tell a very basic...
Very
you know,
dark, deadly story.
Very,
yeah, it's great
very, well, very basic story, you know... It all goes into the theme. Like, in Call of Cthulhu, you could do the haunted house story. You know, it's, you know, you guys are ghost inspectors going
right.
to this haunted house.
Da, da,
da, and then,
yeah, like the one I did that gave Andre nightmares.
Yeah,
that's yeah, a good
exactly.
Idea.
I did a one-shot with a couple players, superhero.
Yeah, Mutants and Masterminds, I think, would lend itself well to
this
a couple
wasn't
of
Mutants
shots.
And Masterminds. Oh,
that was Champions?
Sure, I don't know.
Champions is just the character creation itself. Oh, God.
Yeah, sure.
You don't remember.
I don't remember.
The tax form instead, heroes. You know.
And I stole the bomber guy from the Tick.
The mad bomber who bombs at midnight.
The mad bomber. Yeah.
The only problem is with some of those games, you kind of are like, hey, this would be a cool story for something else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, when the one-shots I've done... generally, it's been to test run a system, test run a setting sort of thing. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. I would say, let's see, I think I did it with Conspiracy X. I believe it was the first edition before they revised it and made it playable.
Wasn't playable before?
It was really, the system was so messed up in that. The original system. I, as far as I understand, the second edition they put out not too long ago is actually pretty good. But
we played in a couple one-shot GURPS.
It's kind of expensive to do any kind of a one-shot just as a test of a system, because, I mean, especially books now, $40-$50 a pop.
Well, but some places put out the free quick start rules.
Yeah, that's not so bad. I like that.
Yeah, I actually honestly wish that...
I wish more companies would do that.
Yeah,
because
I was getting everything set up so that I could get ready, because I'm going to run an Earth Dawn 3rd edition game for Rowan when she comes up.
You would like to have a quick start?
Yeah, there isn't one.
Yeah.
They have a pre-molded adventure, which I'm going to run because I'm not going to make an adventure for it. But character creation is like, all right, I wanted to send a character creation guide out to everybody and go, okay, here's the character sheet, here's the character creation guide. You know, if you're interested in playing, make a character and send it back to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no, because there's no dice rolling in making the character, so I don't have to worry about anybody cheating. It's all points allocated. So you have points that you assign. So I was like, just send out the quick start guide and boom, people can be done. There isn't one.
That's the other thing is doing one-shots, doing convention-type gaming, and doing the pre-generated characters, that can be really, really hard to do. If you're throwing together 8 PC characters for a group, or you know however many players you're going to have or possibly have, you got to sit there and come up with 8 different PCs.
Yeah.
And just the amount of time, as we found with Shadowrun, you know, of how the logistics in making a character can be just so daunting.
Well, that's why if the company has already done that for you.
Yes. So we implore companies to actually put out pre-generated characters like off their website would be fabulous. But no, Shadowrun doesn't do that.
Well, Shadowrun has a quick start guide.
Yes, but they don't have pre-gen characters.
No. Not like they used to.
Evil.
Though that's something you might be able to find online, even if they're not pre-generated by the company.
Well, we looked.
You can usually find players. I know with 4th edition you can find players. You can be like, hey, I have a 4th level rogue, I don't know,
Minotaur.
Blood monster or something.
I have a 4th level rogue Minotaur. Woo! Wait a minute. He has a cape of the Mountain Punk.
Actually, that'd be kind of cool to have a Minotaur rogue.
I tried to get Eric to let me make, because he had me make some of the characters for the D&D game at CantCon, and I tried to get him to let me use Minotaur. He wouldn't do it. I was like, come on.
Somebody could play a Minotaur in my game.
It'd be funny.
It would be hilarious. Minotaurs don't have to be evil.
No, of course.
Some of them worship, you know, Bahamut, but some of them don't. They're the civilized ones.
Yeah. I really think for one-shots, the best ones for one-shots, honestly, is if the game has a quick start guide. Because, you know, like what I'm dealing with right now, you know, I have to get players to make the characters because I'm not going to make the characters for Earthdawn. It's not hard to make characters for Earthdawn.
It's not Shadowrun. Yeah.
It's not Shadowrun. But, you know, still, it's one of those things that I always get complaints, like at CantCon. The one major complaint I got was, well, none of us really liked any of the characters that were available.
Well, yeah, you're going to run into that, especially if you're doing pre-generated characters. You can't aim to please people, especially if you don't know who's going to be playing.
Yeah, but when everybody's like, well, we didn't like any of the characters, everybody, it's like, well, fine, screw it. I'll let someone else make the characters next time.
Yeah.
Apparently, I lack. You can only do so much. Yeah, apparently I lack in the...
I mean, if you know who the players are going to be, that does make it easier, and if you want, you could also just delegate that, say, you, player number one, I need 5 different characters or whatever while I'm, you know, doing the NPCs, especially if you're doing Shadowrun.
Though if you have a tool that will let you do random characters.
Yes, a computer program, some sort of character creator is invaluable, I think.
Yeah.
Like if you're doing...
That would have helped with Shadowrun immensely.
Second edition
characters. If we had found one that worked correctly.
Second edition D&D characters, first edition, basic, all that stuff, pretty straightforward.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you choose...
Well, I remember the old Marvel superheroes game, everything was random. You could randomly generate superpowers, completely randomly generate your hero at randomly everything.
That would kind of suck, though,
Yes, but it was interesting to see what you'd get sometimes.
Well, that's true. Well, it's kind of like I've noticed in Talisman, like, the characters, they're all funny, but sometimes one is uber powerful.
Like the Dark Cultist?
Yeah. And the rest of them are just like, this one sucks. Or this one doesn't suck, but they're not balanced.
We declared Robin the winner after left.
She was very pumped up at that point.
Yeah, she was a scary assassin at that point.
The she was playing
strength
an
of eight. The good assassin, because
strength
she got
of eight,
turned.
Was it, she didn't have like a craft of 9?
No, her craft was just a little bit lower.
I think, yeah.
It was a 7-8.
Like a 7 and 8, yeah.
So, yeah.
But she was scary.
See, that's a game that's good for one-shots, too, but we need a little bit more time.
Yeah, so, well, that's the thing about Talisman, is sometimes you can get through it fairly quickly, and sometimes it takes for bloody
actually, Warhammer. Tabletop, you know, miniature game.
Yeah, that's great for one-offs.
You can do one-offs.
Well, yeah, it's easy to do for one-offs. Well, if you have the models for it, obviously.
Right.
I mean, it's a, even if you don't, if the person's okay with proxies, that's even better.
Right.
Yeah.
The superhero clicks game, HeroClix.
HeroClix.
Any of the click games.
Yeah, don't just be shoehorned in by doing a one-shot RPG. You could do one-shot board games, one-shot, you know, card game thing. Really, what I'm looking, though, at is you know, it's a planned thing, not just a spur of the moment, you know. I think it definitely works best for if you have people that are wanting to try something out, especially.
Well, new people, too.
Yeah. But Warhammer's fine. Really, the games that come to mind for me that are, I think, very good for one-shots are Paranoia, Feng Shui,
Asylum.
I think Star Wars to an extent.
It can be.
Depending on the system. If it's not the new one with the D20 system, yeah, it's a little bit easier to set up one-shots mm-hmm. with the classic system.
Yeah, the D6 system, the West End Games version.
Which later on, I've got something about West End Games.
Okay. Are they still around, or did they go belly up?
They went belly up, but then they came back.
There's something on RPG so they are now, around. Which is kind of cool.
What's that?
Okay.
Well, we'll talk about in Random Encounters.
Yes. Okay. We'll randomly encounter
because I also
that
have
here.
Something, I have a couple monster manual things I want to talk about, too, that I found that are
fabulous.
Pretty awesome.
Fabulous. Well, we're about 20 minutes or so into this conversation. I think we should call it quits and just little bits on one-shots there, and we'll come back with a three-parter. You may have heard Keep on the Shadowfell before, but you've never heard it like this. From the gaming group that brought you The Wizards College, join them as they delve into 4th edition Dungeons & Dragons, some of them for the first time. The town of Brook Hollow stands watch over a ruined keep that was once a bastion of good in the realm. The keep overlooks the Shadow Rift, a dark scar in the world that was once a gateway to the Shadowfell, but has been dormant for many years. Now an evil cleric of Orcus, demon lord of the undead, seeks to reopen the gate, and the only thing standing in his way is a small yet determined band of heroes. Dungeons & Dragons, 4th edition. Keep on the Shadowfell. Redux. Gamers Haven and the Vorpal Network, in association with Pinnacle Entertainment Group, present. A Thousand Monkeys Production.
Deadlands. Enough room to die.
An actual play recording of Deadlands Reloaded. Available for download at www.CanadianCrusaders.com.
This is the Vorpal Network.
Some point.
We are back, and today on the lovely three-parter, I believe Jeremy's got a lovely review for us, Nathan's got a little bit of a rant, and I've got something I want to just sort of let people know is out there, and sort of give my 2 cents on, so we will go ahead and kick this off with the lovely review.
Review.
All right, for the three-parter tonight, I'm going to discuss actually two books that were done by fourth edition fans. A Mr. I believe it's pronounced Mesh, M-E-S-H Hong for the last name. I found those on Ian World. I have a tendency to just dig through Ian's World to see if there's any, you know, random coolness there. And the first thing I found from him was called just simply The Book of the Dead. And it is a book of new undead critters. And they are, it's all black and white. There are not pictures.
Fourth ed or?
It's a fourth edition book. It's 4E compatible. It's all done in stat blocks. You can tell that editing was pretty simple. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's one stat box per page with some small description. Descriptions are not bad.
It looks like you used the WotC.
It looks like it.
Builder, which is fine. That looks beautiful.
Right. Well, the one thing I liked is he has just the random critters for undead, and then he has themed critters. And there's all sorts of different undead in there, different zombies, just a whole list. And they're four mostly heroic-tiered characters. But I got to say, I really, for just player-created stuff, he did a good job. It's simple. A lot of the creatures, you know, I didn't sit down and, you know, break down the numbers or anything like that. I just gave them a once through, and I really liked some of them. They were good for some more undead critters. In addition, he had another one called Book of Distant Stars, which is about aberrations. And some of the aberrations are, well, he has a mudman in there, and somebody brought up, well, why was the mudman an aberration and not like a elemental? And he had some, you know, just random reason. It didn't even matter, actually.
Yeah.
But he made the monster. Who cares?
Same thing. Well, and he took it all in good stride. I was looking at the actual, the message board. But that one also, Book of Distant Stars, is very, very cool. It has quite a few Cthulhu-esque, and not necessarily, they aren't exactly Cthulhu, but they're Cthulhu-esque critters. And again, they're mostly like individuals and then some themed ones. And the nice thing is they I don't remember if that one's only heroic, but there were some nasty things in there. And his descriptions are simple. One thing he didn't put in there was like the arcane or history checks or anything like that. But that's okay, because you can make it so it fits with your world. Each one is roughly, I think it's 69 pages?
Yeah, roughly. It's 69, 70 pages. Something
and,
like that.
And really, for a free download, he did a good job. I want to, you know, send props out to him, because it's nice to see just a reasonable, you know, player-created items that just improve your game. And so he did a good job. I'm hoping to see a few more things from him. I will, because I don't normally follow most people on Ian World.
Right.
But I probably will go look for his name again to see if he has anything else out. So if he still has his links up, which it looks like he does, and obviously he wants them downloaded because, well, he's got his links there. Check out the Book of the Dead and the Book of Distant Stars. I think you'd be pleasantly surprised. Obviously, if you're looking for great artwork, though, there's no art.
Yeah, there's no art. I mean, they're free PDFs, but it looks like I'm just sort of flipping through them here and there, and they actually look pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I really like them.
They're very basic, but, you know.
But
you want to add in some creatures that are kind of wacky and kind of, you know, not expected.
The powers aren't necessarily... The powers are interesting, and some of them are just neat. And he also introduced a couple new curses and or diseases with the monsters.
Yeah, I saw that.
Some of them are pretty nasty. So if you want to throw things, you know, mix things up, maybe take something that's not in the Monster Manual, check this out, because you will be pleasantly surprised. So, that's my review.
The Rant.
Yeah, I think so. So, I'm actually going to talk about a couple different things. It's not really a rant or a rave. I want to give a little bit of advice and warning, as I found out the hard way. There are now several places where you can go online where you can buy PDF copies of books. You need to be very, very careful with how you do this. And the only reason I say this is because I went to a site, and I can't remember the name of it. I was looking for it on my computer while this was going on, while Jeremy was doing his review, and I can't find it. But you only can click the download link once.
Is it Your Games Now?
I don't remember.
It's the only other one I really know of.
I have to look through my
Warehouse 13, I think, doesn't it?
But you can only click the download link once. And if you double-click the download link, it gives you an error and says that the product is no longer available for download, and you don't get the download, so you're out your money. So be really, really careful with stuff like that. My recommendation, I know this sounds like an ad, but I have never had any problems with DriveThruRPG, and I know we endorse their website.
Well, they send you like 5 to 6 different downloads for the same one, so if it happens.
Yeah, they have multiple copies for the download
right.
that you download.
DriveThruRPG and RPGNow.com. Yeah. So they're the same company. One bookshelf.
I've only bought 2 things for them, and they're very well done. I bought a PDF for Call of Cthulhu from the other place, and I clicked once, and it didn't seem to be doing anything. Clicked it again, and it was gone. I was out $35 for a PDF copy of Call of Cthulhu main rulebook. I wanted a copy so I could pull pages out of it to make a quick guide to because people ask me, can you send us a quick guide for creating characters if we're going to do a one-shot for... I usually do a one-shot for Halloween, or I do a one-shot game for when one of my friends comes up from Texas over the Christmas holiday season, so I run a one-shot so that they can get a chance to play because they don't get to game a lot where they're at. And, I just wanted to pull a couple pages out of it so I could, make a quick guide out of it, type up a quick guide so I could send it off, and it didn't work. I lost my money. So be careful with that. And make sure that the companies that you deal with are very reputable. If suddenly you lose your ability to download the product you bought, make sure they have a contact us. Don't go with emails, because 9 times out of 10, a lot of those places that only have emails never send anything back. You never hear anything. Make sure they have a phone number. Call them. Pester them until they either fix the problem or refund you your money.
Yeah, give you your money back.
Yeah, because it's silly that stuff like this happens, but it does. So be careful. Research what you're looking at before you buy from a place, and then make sure that if something happens, you have an exit strategy. Now I'm going to talk about the current trend with video games.
DLC.
Downloadable content, yeah. As some of you might know, I'm an addict to Rock Band, and Rock Band announced that they've released 1,000 songs now, of which I have over 500 of them. As I looked at my downloaded songs on the Xbox the other day, but I've noticed a very disturbing trend. Now, it's cool with the idea of having DLC for role playing games, but there are a lot of times when you'll be playing the game and it feels like something's missing, and suddenly there's this bit of downloadable content, and well, this piece looks like it was originally part of the game, but they excised it so they could make more money off of it. That crap is stupid. I mean, a good example is this. Shale is downloadable content only. As of right now, if you buy a copy of Dragon Age on the PC or the Xbox 360 by, I believe it's April 31st, you get them for free. After that, you have to spend 1,200 points on them. They're BioWare points. And I think it's like $6.75 for every 400 points or something like that.
That sounds about right.
So he's $20.
No, $15.
Well, $6.75 is $7, $7.14.21. Because he's 1,200 points. 400 points times 3 is...
Well, all I know is on the Dragon Age site, he's $15.
Yeah.
That's what he's listed as.
So he's $15 for an extra character.
Or bits and bytes and
Well, the thing is, you know, you... Yeah, see, he's listed as 1,200 points on the thing, and their points are... Yeah, that's weird. But anyways...
I wouldn't spend it, you know...
Well, no. The thing is they put him in... They put the free thing in there because it's pretty clear when you start to play that it seems like he was originally designed to be in the game in the first place because he was available when the game came out.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know why they're... You know why they're doing it, right? It's to... It's their combat against the used game market.
Yeah. They want to keep people from buying used games.
Game companies will forever hate the used game market.
Mm. Yeah.
Because... I mean, and retailers will forever love it because that's where they make their money.
Yeah, look at EB or GameStop. 95% of their sales from the last quarter came from used games.
I can speak from experience. I used to work in a used video game place, and that's where the money was. I mean, especially if you're a smaller retailer, if you are buying a new game, often if it's at the time it was PS2, Xbox games, but a $50 game we could get. Wholesale, through our distributor for $47,
you make $3 profit.
It's like that's just not worth the time. And after shipping, you might as well just go buy it at Walmart. You get bigger discounts when you buy stuff in bulk, so the bigger retailers can get them a lot cheaper. And
understand.
Used games, you're paying half for it or less than half for it usually.
Yeah,
That's all money in the bank.
Yeah, I understand why they do DLC, but the thing is it's really frustrating because you look at it and it's obvious from the way the game is set up. Mm-hmm. The shale was supposed to be there in the first place, and they excised it out, made it into downloadable content, which is really a bummer because the thing is it's like it doesn't showcase that what they're trying to do is keep people from selling their games for used copies. It makes people feel like what's happening is the company's being greedy.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Well, it's a double-edged thing, too, is if they release DLC over the course of a couple years, they're doing their best to keep you from getting rid of the game anyway.
Well, yeah.
By doing that, so.
Which is a good idea. The thing is, it's like the Warden's Keep thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very clear that when you do the Warden's Keep, that was not part of the game originally.
Yeah.
That was obviously added because everything that deals with the Warden's Keep is located specifically where the Warden's Keep is. That's
right.
It. All in. That's nothing else. You don't see really anything anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get anything except for that.
I've done the Warden's Keep and I've done Shale. So.
Yeah. But the thing is Shale influences in many various different areas where other characters, NPCs and stuff interact with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that's all scripting and stuff, and I'm sure when they come up with a new character, Return to Ostagar, that they'll do the same thing. But it just... It makes you wonder, because you sit there and look at it and go, okay, was this just a ploy for them to make more money off of people? If so, why is it that anybody that buys a new copy right now gets them for free anyways?
Yep.
Sort of thing.
Through April 13th. And I'll point out, too, that that if you look on the card, the code works through April 31st, meaning if you own the game and you format reinstall after April 31st, you have to rebuy that content.
No. As long as you use the same login information, your DLC is tied to your login account. So mine's tied into my login account, which I'm not going to give because I'm not stupid. And well, you've already bought all the same content anyways.
Yeah.
But it's tied to your login account. So if you have to uninstall and reinstall the game, as long as you use the same login information, it'll be fine. That being said, if you use a different login information with the same license key. You're in serious trouble.
Yeah.
Because they don't look too kindly on that.
No.
And
want you to do that.
Well, they don't want you. They want you to be able to buy another copy. I know you can only install, you can only have the license active on up to 3 computers, which is fine. I've only got 2 computers that we run it on, my wife's computer and my computer. But I'm planning on buying her a copy because I want to be able to get her the same download.
As far as I can tell, you need the DVD in the drive to run the game.
Yes, you do. But like with everything else, if you look around, you can find a no CD patch. I don't have it activated. I don't have the no CD patch activated because it's just as easy to put the disc in, and we'll swap the disc back and forth. But the thing is I would like to get a copy for my wife so that she can get all the cool downloadable content for herself. But the thing is. Some of the stuff seems like it should have been there in the first place, and some of it's obviously tacked on. And the stuff that's heavily integrated just makes you feel like you're getting screwed over. And if you look at a lot of games, it's like, I'm going to use the music games because those are really ones that I know really well. Look at, like, Guitar Hero Metallica. Guitar Hero Metallica has, like, 45 songs on it. You pay $60 for the game. You pay more than a dollar a song, right? And you'd think it's Metallica. They got the music from Metallica. They'd have the ability to add more songs to the game. No. If you want to buy more songs, they want to release another Guitar Hero Metallica. Guitar Hero Metallica 2, which has more songs. That's just absolutely
unfortunately with that, some of that's just the licensing. It might not be Guitar Hero's fault on
no,
that.
No, it is Activision's fault. Activision had the opportunity. I've read up on this. Activision had the opportunity to get licensing to be able to do DLC for Guitar Hero Metallica, and they didn't do it. So that's nobody's fault.
We all know Activision. Activision, they don't want to put out something that they can't basically update every year.
The specific wording was we will not be releasing any games that cannot be exploited on a yearly basis. His words exactly were exploited. Taken advantage of.
That man is, I hate that man.
He's a pud. But anyways,
is the company that owns Blizzard.
Yeah. And you wonder why suddenly we're seeing World of Warcraft crap everywhere. Before Blizzard was taken over by Activision, there was no such thing as
well. There was only
T-shirts and bumper stickers.
Well, not even that. But the how long was the game out before they put out the first expansion for it?
Two, three years, and now they've got another expansion pack coming out next year.
Put out Lich King and
last year, they're doing another one. Mm-hmm. Every year.
It's a popular game, though.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they get dump trucks of money every day.
Yeah. I'm sure Blizzard is actually heating their business with the excess cash.
They hire people to burn the money that they can't.
I just don't have time for any of that. So,
but there are certain aspects of downloadable content you look at and you go, this should have been in the game in the first place. Why do I have to pay more money for it? It's a crock of crap, and it's beginning to get that way with a lot of RPGs, and it's just crap. I mean, you pay through the nose for this stuff, anyways, and yes. I know $60 may not seem like a lot of money to a lot of us. A lot of us do remember.
It's a lot of money to me.
Yeah, a lot of us remember back when we were young, when we were kids, and we had old computers, and games were $80 a piece because they had to make it for seven platforms.
Mm-hmm.
We remember the times like that, but still, $60 is very expensive, and for poor people like us, that's damned expensive. And buying a game and then having to go, oh, well, to get access to this shotgun in Modern Warfare 2, I have to go spend 1,200 points online. What is that? That is just a company going, well, we want to make more money off this product, and since we can't make it by making the game more expensive because people will riot, we'll just make it downloadable content, and if they actually want to be able to use the stuff that's supposed to be in the game in the first place, they'll have to pay more money for it.
You have to pay for the shotgun?
To get access to certain weapons in multiplayer, you have to do DLC for it. So you pay money for it. How stupid is that?
Buy Vice City for PlayStation 2. I can get it for $10.
You can probably get it less than that.
Buy it on the PC. It's better on the PC, and you can get it for the same price. New.
No, I want it on the PlayStation 2.
You can use a PlayStation 2 controller on your PC.
I could, but my seat is much better in the living room with my PlayStation 2.
Your couch?
He has a point.
Yeah, that's true. But it's crap. Yeah, and the thing is, I know companies do it
the for bottom
various
line,
different reasons,
the,
but it
the
just
bottom
seems
line
like
with DLC. The bottom line with DLC is it's a company that the company wants to cut out. Literally, they want to cut out the retailer.
Right.
They want to cut out the middleman. They want you to buy direct from them and because they make more money that way.
Right.
That's it. That's why they have it. That's why it's there.
Then they should make it exclusive things that you buy that you get directly from them when you buy the game directly from them. Not make it.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just playing devil's advocate on it.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I'm waiting for the time when you're, going through a level, and you come to a door.
And it says, this area is download content only.
Yeah,
that
you cannot open up.
One of the annoying things people have complained about with Dragon Age.
The guys in the camp, when you buy the game.
When you buy the game, there's a guy in your... Once you get out, you have a camp you can go back to. There's a guy in your camp that you can go talk to who gives you a quest, but the quest is DLC.
Yeah.
So you go through the bit of him telling you about the quest and whatnot,
and
then it gives
you
the option of saying, would you like to go to it? We'll go to an external website to purchase content. And if you don't do it, if you say no, blah, blah, he stays there with the little... exclamation point above his head.
You go talk to him. He's like, would you like to go buy this content now?
He shouldn't even be there.
I agree.
If you spend $60. Now, I understand in the Eberron game, the free one, I understand that.
Yeah, free games.
Free games,
yeah.
Totally understand.
Having the
because it's free.
Because that's how they support the game. They've got to support us.
$60 and I get to a door that I have to go spend another $15 or $20 to download, I may take the game and shove it up the guy's ass who made the game.
Yeah, well, don't even bother looking into Neverwinter Nights 3 then, because that was their whole plan was to do
Neverwinter Nights 2.
They're doing a Neverwinter Nights 3.
Yes, they're planning on doing a Neverwinter Nights 3.
I will just go back to Neverwinter Nights
3. The second one was
three times
enough.
As bad as number 2. Okay.
I'll just go back with Neverwinter Nights 1 and its expansions, because
those were good expansions.
Well, the awesome thing is, have you guys seen, you probably have. Have you seen the Dragon Age tools to make stuff
it's
for Dragon
awesome.
Age?
It's awesome. It's very good.
It's freaking sweet. The scripting language is easy to understand. The tool layout is perfect. I mean,
it's going to be a repeat of what happened with Neverwinter Nights. With Neverwinter Nights, they had their tool set is 99.9% of the stuff that came out from fans using the tool set was utter crap.
Right.
But that
0.1% out there that came out is absolutely fabulous, and BioWare hired those people.
Yeah. Right.
And that same thing is going to happen with Dragon Age.
Yeah.
Is you'll have 99.9% utter, horrible crap, 14 brothels people put together, and then you'll have the 0.1% that is just an awesome, wow, and BioWare will hire that person.
So downloadable brothels?
Well, there was some really cool stuff with Neverwinter Nights. I don't know if you ever saw the Persistent Worlds that people built.
I heard about them. I didn't see them.
They were really cool, because you'd log into a server online to play on a persistent world. And what happened is things happened at various different intervals in the day. It went from day to night, on regular shifts and stuff for the various different areas, and things would happen differently in the different areas. And you'd go on, there'd be 32 people playing online in a persistent world. It was really cool.
We had our training world.
Yeah.
with the squirrels that gave you?
No, it was kobolds and goblins. So they all had one hit point. Mm-hmm. But there was 500 of them, maxed out on XP. So you'd walk out of the door, and you go, TRIGGERED! Goblin, goblin, goblin!
And you'd go,
and you just sit there and go, attack. Killing goblins and kobolds. Hey, I'm level whatever!
Yeah, the thing about that was interesting was I used the Neverwinter Nights tool set to actually recreate my entire D&D world. The whole continent, and then
you lose it all?
Yes, I lost it all. Yeah. I lost it all because I lost the hard drive, rebuilt the computer back up, and lost everything. My file for it, just my file, the WAD file or whatever they called it for my map stuff, was 730 megabytes.
Wow.
Just for the layout of it. And that was without any scripting, without any characters added. It was just the world. And Andre would run through it and he goes, good God, what?
But anyway, we should wrap that up as far as the DLC, so...
DLC is cool, but in many ways it sucks. I don't feel like I'm getting. I don't like feeling like I got screwed over on a product I already paid money for that I have to buy something that should have been in the game in the first damn place. Period. End of subject.
Guess I'm not buying video games.
Activision, I'm talking to you. You guys are really bad about it.
What we're into. All right, I am doing just a little for your information part here something has come out that I wanted to sort of give my two cents on. A company called Cubicle 7 Entertainment, which does games, does a few different games. They actually put out Chin the Warring States, which was a French game, was nominated for several awards, very beautiful game.
Really beautiful book, too.
Yeah, gorgeous book. They've done they do Slay Industries, they do Victoriana, Star Blazer Adventures, and Cthulhu Britannica.
They did the Cthulhu Britannica
book? They do the Cthulhu Britannica books, yes.
Cool.
The Cthulhu Britannica are the British twist on all that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Cubicle 7 Entertainment got the license and have finally released, I believe about a year and a half late, the Doctor Who Adventures in Time and Space RPG. Now this is licensed from BBC, has the entire artwork and whatnot, or images from the new series, the David Tennant series. Basically, from what I can tell, that there's nothing on their website about it, but I'm looking on RPG. RPG Now has the PDF. The PDF itself is $34.99, and the actual print book when it's available is going to be $60.
Ouch.
I know, it's kind of painful on that.
Is it full color?
I don't know. Like I said, they don't have this up on their website
what
or anything
system?
Like that. As far as I know, it is a... It's either a custom-made system, or if they go with what they did for Star Blazer, it'd be fudge, which I wouldn't be too happy with because I really don't like it. But Cubicle 7 has put out Doctor Who Adventures in Time and Space, and I really just want to... address the idea right now is there have been two Doctor Who RPGs in the past, one put out by FASA, and the other put out, I don't remember who put that one out, but it was called Time Lord.
FASA, like the test?
FASA, F-A-S-A, FASA, who put out, no, not FAFSA. FASA.
Okay.
Not FAFSA. FASA, who did, who had
BattleTech. College test?
Yes, exactly.
Sweet.
But anyway, Doctor Who Adventures of Time and Space is... from what I can tell, is it's a role playing game set in the universe of Doctor Who. Now, I am a huge Doctor Who fan. I love Doctor Who. I love the old Doctor Who. I love the new Doctor Who. It's all great.
Can we all play Doctor Who?
That's what I want to know. Really, is
all play time
I love Doctor Who, but I just don't see how Doctor Who lends itself to being an RPG.
The GM gets to be Doctor Who. Everybody else gets to be chicks.
You play Doctor Who. You watch Doctor Who. Who do you watch it for? You watch for the Doctor. So if you take an activity that is inherently a group activity of, you know, 3, 4, 5 people playing an RPG
and shove it into a system that's designed.
You know, everyone will want to play.
Everyone would want to play
the Doctor. Right. Well, everyone can't play the Doctor because then. You have the Superman syndrome where, okay, everything's going to be fine,
well,
right?
If
you're all playing Time Lords, okay, again, you know, sort of the same basic thing.
The Doctor
but
was a
if you're all playing companions of the Doctor, then, like, if one player gets to play the Doctor and everyone else gets to watch, then what is it, everyone watching him do stuff?
Well, that makes
Because really,
that makes
that's not
that
fun. If it's everyone playing companions and the GM who's playing the Doctor... That kind of sucks for everyone because you know, it's going to be the magic, something falls on the Doctor, and then...
Player.
The book's in color.
Okay, you found a...
PDF presentation.
PDF
yeah.
View.
Yeah. It's just a demo from their website. From their website, they have stuff
I
up now.
See it
yeah,
on there.
It's in color now.
But,
you can be the GM in Doctor Who, and then you get Playboy Bunnies.
Well, the thing is this. It actually has listed here, there's Blend character sheet and the Doctor's character sheet. So, obviously, you don't play as the Doctor. The question is mm-hmm. who plays as the Doctor? Is the Doctor just a character that they might actually run into? Oh, it's just a character sheet filled out. Okay.
You know, it just sort of worries me. I mean, I love Doctor Who, and I'd be interested in seeing this game, but with the price point that it's at $35 just for the PDF...
And $60
for $60 bucks for the actual print book... It's not something I'm willing to take a chance on.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. The book
I'm going to try getting in touch with the company and see if they can at least alleviate some of my concerns.
I'm not playing one of the useless companions.
Yeah. So, you know,
like
I'll take a look a bit at Doctor Who, this PDF preview they have. But those are my general concerns with it, and just being just loving Doctor Who like I do, I really have those concerns about it. But it is available; you can get it at RPG Now. You can look at some information on Cubicle 7 Entertainment's website, cubicle-7.com, and that's the numeral 7. I'll put links in links. I'll try to put links on the page or in our show notes. So. But that's about it for that. We will be back here in just a moment with some random encounters.
Proudly present A Thousand Monkeys production of A Monty Cook Adventure. Tolus, the Night of Dissolution. An adventure for Dungeons & Dragons 4th edition. Following the threads of a hidden conspiracy, six heroes find themselves up against insane cultists, wild chaos magic, and horrors from the primordial days of the world. Urban intrigue, dungeon exploration, and high action span the grand city of Tullus, the city by the spire. Join these heroes as they explore a former brothel, the laboratory of the dreaded Surgeon in Shadows, and even secret temples of chaos cults. Can these intrepid adventurers stave off the night of dissolution, a dark time long foretold when the slumbering lords of chaos will awaken in their hidden lairs deep below Tullus, and bring catastrophe to the world?
And we are back, and today on Lovely Random Encounters, we have several emails, and Jeremy wants to talk to us about West End Games.
I don't know where I was at, but I noticed that West End Games has basically all of their basic stuff for free on RPG Now. You can download it for free. I have downloaded their space one. Actually, I downloaded them all. They have a space one, a fantasy one, an adventure one, and so on.
Going there now. Let's see. It's their open D6 stuff, it
right.
looks like.
Yeah, but it's the full books.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not bad. I was reading the Fantasy Magic, and...
And this D6, the D6 system is the Star Wars,
right.
the old Star Wars system.
The system is
so like,
easy, but some of
D6
it's D6
space, yeah, it's all
yeah,
free
it's
right
all
now.
Free right now. And so I downloaded them all, and I will be going through those slowly, mostly just to get Star Wars-type ideas,
mm-hmm.
and maybe ideas for other games. I don't know if that means they are not doing well, so they are just trying to get their stuff out there, or if something occurred. But I noticed that, and I thought I would just point it out.
D6 Adventure.
Yeah.
D6 Adventure locations. D6 core books. Core set bundles. Free.
Right.
Well, let's check this out.
I didn't try the bundle. I just did it individually. And I was fine with it, but so far so good.
Hmm. Well, if anyone knows really what's up with West End Games,
please tell us.
Let us know. They do have a website. I might try. Yeah. Might try just emailing them.
That might be the best bet because their website is so small. It's basically
yeah.
nothing.
It's,
but
there's not much there.
Was tempted to purchase a couple of their items,
mm-hmm.
and I was thinking about it. And now I don't have to.
Well, there you go.
So I do find that interesting. Though, if you get a chance, take a look at the fantasy one.
Mm-hmm. Fantasy
just,
creatures or just D6 fantasy?
No, just D6 fantasy. Look that over and look at their spell calculations.
Oh, yeah?
Because,
Are they crazy?
Yeah. If I ever ran one of those, we would be using just the pre-generated spells.
Oh, you can create your own spells?
On the fly.
Oh.
Now, it may take your character... It may take you, you know, 20 minutes, and you figure out that your character only needs 4 minutes to do it, but it's all calculated.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway.
Well, we have some emails, and I've let these pile up for quite a while, so we have some good stuff to talk about. Got an email from The Great Debate, The Great Debate podcast at rpgdebate.com. I got an email from Jim Ryan over there. Now, let's see, Jim Ryan. Jack Ryan? Jim Ryan. Anyway, I wanted to drop you a line and let you know that I heartily enjoy your show and have played your promo on the most recent episode of the podcast. I got hooked on Gamers Haven via your Deadlands actual play episodes. Deadlands is one of my favorite RPGs, and every time I listen, I'm reminded how much I've missed running it lately. Damn it. I'm having an excellent time listening to the story unfold. Ethan's done an excellent job combining the existing Deadlands lore with his ongoing plotline as a GM I'd be proud to play under. Jeremy and Eric are freaking hysterical, especially when they're planning something, and Robin and Nathan are consummate role players. The regular shows are great to listen to as well because you thoroughly and succinctly explore your topics in pretty much every segment, though I must admit I really like the tangents you go on from time to time that keep building on your epic time travel and mosquito-laden adventures. I look forward to future episodes. You guys are a lot of fun to listen to. Take care, Jim Ryan. Well, thank you very much, Jim. I have queued up the Great Debate podcast to listen to at some juncture. Now that I am done with my finals, I might be able to actually do so. Thank you for your rave about Deadlands. I'm enjoying running it, and it will continue running until it's done, I think. So, but that was from the Great Debate podcast. We got an email from John Harizma. John. We got an email from John. Said, "Hey guys and gals, just wanted to drop you a line and let you know that I really enjoy your podcasts. I've never played any system other than D&D, so the Deadlands series has been very interesting. It's great to hear your camaraderie while playing. Since I've been listening to Deadlands, I haven't been keeping up with Tullis. It seems that is that series going past episode 6.4. It hasn't been easy finding actual play podcasts for D&D, so I've been telling everyone about you guys. Looking forward to your continuing adventures." This was sent to us back at the end of October. We are still doing Tullis right now. It's just scheduling has been...
holiday snafus.
Holiday snafus, life intervening, that sort of thing. So I think we have put out an episode, our seventh part in that. Right now, we're not getting back together to play that again until after Christmas. So thanks for the email, John. We will be most certainly doing more of the lovely stuff. Yes. We also posted a review, a couple on our snippet review episodes, some of our snippet reviews, which we haven't done a few of those in a while. We need to do some more. Of Ninja to Go. Jeremy and I did the Ninja to Go game. Michael Fiegel over at Aeon Forge, who are the people who did the PDF version of that game, emailing back, said, "Thanks for the review, appreciate it. Just a few minor corrections. The pictures of the little ninjas are, in fact, pictures of little rubber ninja that were included in the extremely limited edition version of this game that were sold at Origins and Dragon Con. The Steve Jackson Games game is a pure card game, and while it contains dice, it does not contain little ninja figures and is not a board game. So no big deal, though. You hit the salient points in the review. Thanks, Mike."
I want some of those ninjas.
Just to clarify that, Ninja to Go, there you go. Got an email from Jeremy Burford. Jeremy Burford, who is in Missouri, apparently, in misery. "Hey guys, I heard you mention George R.R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire in the most recent episode. If you enjoy Martin, give Scott Lynch a try. His Gentleman Bastard sequence is still quite young, only two books out with a third due sometime in 2010, and is well worth a read. The dust jacket of the first book describes it as Robin Hood meets Ocean's 11, and really, I can't think of a better comparison. The first book is titled The Lies of Loch Lomara. Do yourselves a favor and give it a shot, but be forewarned, you'll never want to play anything but a rogue after reading it. Keep fighting the good fight, Jeremy in Missouri." I have put that on my list of books to check out at some point, The Lies of Loch Lomara. I have read the first three books in Song of Ice and Fire, and I think they're absolutely fantastic books. We'll be starting up on the fourth book here shortly. But I don't know, have you guys heard of Lies of Loch Lomara? Mm-hmm. Scott Lynch guy?
No, I've never heard of him. I'll have to check it out.
Sounds pretty cool. Well, if I get a copy of the book, I will let you guys know. Got an email from, also concerning one of our, snippet reviews of Gold Digger.
Hmm.
Got an email from Leah over at Out of the Box Publishing, and she just wanted to thank us for the review, and that when she gets the time, they're going to post a link to the review on their website.
That's a fun game.
For which one?
Gold Digger. For Gold Digger.
Oh. It's over fun. It's a lot of fun.
I'll have to try that sometime.
Mm-hmm. Got an email from Stephen Skidmore. says, "Hi guys, been a huge fan of the show for a long time. Your world building series, which I just realized is spelled world bleeding. I don't know what you're speaking of. I looked just today and it's spelled entirely correctly." Uh-huh. Anyway, in the feed.
The joys of the internet.
Yes. Is what got me into listening to podcasts and helped me actually put a lot of the stuff in my head down on paper instead of just in my head. But enough inflating your egos. The reason I'm finally sending you an email is a few months back a few comments you made about the Book of Vile Darkness. I can understand your point of view about the book and how it has hurt the image of gaming for some people. And I own a $5 copy of the Book of Erotic Fantasy. I know what can do harm to gaming's image. I think, though, that you missed a great use of some of the things in that book. As a perma-GM, I keep the Book of Vile Darkness next to my screen, and when the players start to get complacent, I just reach over and pat the book. They know what evil spells are in the book and that I won't pull my punches. Everyone agrees with me that it is a GM intimidation weapon. Well, all that is beyond what you're talking about in the episodes, but I thought you might enjoy the idea. Keep up the good work and don't let life get you too down, and maybe a few more regular episodes for you guys, for those of us who aren't huge fans of actual play. Steven. First of all, let me say, I think the Book of Vile Darkness is a fine, fine product, and I love it! I love to taunt players with it. I love to, you know, flip through it and see the nipple clamps of exquisite pain and, you know, dangle those in front of
me. It has its uses. I mean, it's good to get your juices, flowing.
No, seriously, it is a good book.
It is a good book.
I mean, it is one of Monty's best, I think. And it is definitely a third ed book that I would recommend people pick up.
It's no, you know, Book of Erotic Fantasy, obviously.
Well, Book of Erotic Fantasy is just dumb. Yeah. We speak not of that. But Book of Wild Darkness, well worth the $5 well worth any money, whether it be $5 or whatnot, that you put down for it.
Fourth edition one of it?
I strongly doubt it. Which is too bad.
Because
Book of Wild Darkness is good. Book of Exalted Deeds was crap. It just shows you evil's better. It is great. It was a great tool for GMs.
It just shows that they don't know how to write awesome goodness, because you can do cool things with good. They just didn't do it.
Yep. We got an email from our good friend, Gary the Pagan. Or the Eighth Pagan, as they say.
Is there, seven other ones that...
I'm wondering if he killed all seven, and now he is the Eighth.
So maybe he's hunting
for
the
maybe clients. Maybe it's like the...
The one.
No, maybe it's like the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Oh.
You know, it's like someone passes on the title of... Gary, or the Eighth Pagan. So I don't know. Anyway, we got an email from him. We hadn't heard from him for quite a while.
He was dead.
Yeah, we assumed he'd been swallowed up by the chaos of
Ecuador.
Yes, he'd been taken out by ninjas from Ecuador. Hi, no, I have not left the planet and returned to my own world. Just been a while since I got around emailing. He sent us an image of called Swimming in Bullets. The image conjured up in my mind when you mentioned it in the podcast, but I'm a disturbed individual. And can you please send me the winning lottery ticket you got from the UK? I can't win the damn thing, but some straw-chewing yokel in Kansas can. Hey, I don't chew straw.
Anymore.
That much. There's the Swimming in Bullets picture.
I want to see this from a comic.
It's from a comic book.
Is she naked?
Yes.
Why is she in bullets? Why is she swimming in bullets naked?
I got nothing.
Well, I guess it's kind of cool.
Anyway, forgot to mention before, I also downloaded Dungeons & Dragons Online, but I left it downloading as background task until it was done. iTunes sucks, G-Potter is free, Drag and Drop will do it for me to get files from an MP3 player. Can't talk, playing Dragon Age Origins, and only a third of the way through the story, 50 or so hours to go. Yes,
ma'am. What was the other thing that's free?
Huh? Oh, G. Potter. It's a pod catcher.
Oh, I don't want that thing.
No. Got an email from Joe McJoe.
Hey,
very short email. Said if Nathan does his Connor in a Connor impression a little slower and a little deeper, he could transform into a decent Al Gore.
He wants me to be Al Gore.
Say if you do your Connor, just a little slower, a little deeper, you'd be Al Gore. He just wanted to let you know.
That's actually going to be a challenge. I will have to try that. So first,
we'll be playing Deadlands this Sunday. So
I have no idea whether I'm going to make it or not. I'm going to try, but Let's see. Kana sounds kind of like this and talks a little fast.
Talk about
so let's take
man,
it a
bear,
little
pig.
Slower so we can talk
and go a little
slower.
Deeper.
Now I need to go a little deeper.
And talk about man, bear,
deeper.
Pig. You have to wear a cape.
Talk about man, bear, pig. I don't sound like Al Gore. Al
that
Gore
was for you, Joe.
Al Gore is more of a, damn, with the money I got from that tip, I could have bought 1 gallon of gas.
And then shot man, bear, pig.
We got another email from Galashi1, our good friend Galashi. Said, so I was thinking about it, and I don't quite remember if you've given an opinion on these game systems before, Burning Wheel and Dread RPG, and the soon-to-be-published Dragon Age tabletop RPG. Also, I finally played Arkham Horror, no expansions, and did some research on the game. Just how big is the game with all the expansions? Nathan, why don't you address that last one first?
Yeah, the table in our kitchen, in our dining area, is 7 foot by 3 foot. With all the boards on the game that I have, and I'm still missing one of the expansions, we actually exceed...
Do you have Innsmouth?
I do not. I have Innsmouth. I don't have...
I know you don't have Black Goat of the Woods, which isn't a board expansion, though.
I have Black Goat of the Woods.
I mean, you couldn't find it.
Yeah.
There's Kingsport. You don't have Kingsport.
I don't have Kingsport. Okay. So I'm missing one of the actual board expansions. But with the two that I have, and the main board, and all the cards...
Cards.
And the setup for all the cards, the table is completely... full. There is no.
We need another table to actually play the game.
Yeah, so
be able to play the game.
The best way I can put it is, if you want to play Arkham Horror with all of the expansions, you need yourself a Warhammer certified tournament table, which is 4 foot by 8 foot.
4 foot by 8 foot, plus another card table just in case.
Just in case.
And a room you can actually partition off and not let pets into, because you know
To
play the full game for 900 years.
Yeah, it takes forever. Yeah. It's the only board game I've ever seen where you can actually have a game run for like 2 weeks.
Actually, Axis and Allies, we did that a couple times.
Yeah, that's true.
It's almost like playing Axis and Allies with two boards. And Allies with like the Europe board and the
the
Pacific
Theater. There's a bunch of them now.
Yeah, I saw that. I like the actual the miniatures version of Axis and Allies.
Yeah, the problem with miniatures is it's collectible.
Yeah. That sucks, but the miniatures are really cool looking.
Mm-hmm. All right. And as for the RPGs, I've heard of some of them. I know a bit more about the Dragon Age one than others, but Burning Wheel is an independent independent game. I think it's also Burning Empires. I think
if they send us one, we can review it.
Well, yeah, if they're willing to send us one, we can review it.
Dread RPG, I've heard. I think I've seen. I don't know much else about it. And Dragon Age RPG, I know the basics of what has popped out from Green Ronin, and if it's a Green Ronin product, it's probably going to be fabulous. They'll give us money later, I guess. I don't know. I know it's not D20. I know it's their own system. It looks very nice. Other than that, I really don't know much about it. My whole problem with a lot of fantasy-based games out there is you got to have... I think as a fantasy game, as a company putting out a new fantasy game, you've got to have a lot of cojones. You got to have a lot of moxie to think you can... not necessarily take on D&D, but you have to be able to present something that is different enough from D&D to not be D&D. Because my problem with it is you look at a generic fantasy game and say, because this happened a lot before D20 came out, was you had all these people who were putting out fantasy games. Mm-hmm. And my thing was, after D20 came out, really, and it did happen a bit after that, was... why would I... The chief question that you want to ask that nobody asks is, why should I play this and not D&D?
Yeah.
Why should I play this and not the game that's been around for 30 years?
Right.
So...
what I would like to see from companies is actually source books. And not... when I say source books, I don't mean anything with rules.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see just books that might be like a setting... or just information. You know, I'd like to see that type of thing. Because a lot of these companies have great writers, but we don't really need a bunch of new rules.
Right.
And I'm not even saying it has to be 4th edition rule set. I just want flavor. I want some PDFs that are just more flavor. Now, you can get that from just, like, normal books. I mean, you can just go to, you know. But I wish they would do some of those. And I just don't think there's any money in it, so.
Yeah.
But I won't buy just another system just because. I was happy with Savage World.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't go out and buy the Savage World Fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Sundered Skies.
I mean, it's interesting, but...
Ultimately, that's really what it goes down to, is...
And Green Ronin's book will be good. It will be good, but I just don't... There's no point for me to buy it.
Yeah. I haven't seen anything from any of those games that would remotely really interest me. I mean, Dragon Age is cool PC game, but I could do everything in that... That is done in that game, I could do in D&D.
Right.
Easily.
It's
just flavor. So
that's
like,
why I like flavor books.
Yeah.
I just like good flavor books about the plains, about different cities, locations.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is this. Well, the way most of us actually play role-playing games, especially even D&D, mm-hmm. we just take the basic rules and then excise all the setting stuff anyways, because we don't care for their settings. We made our own settings.
Yeah.
We've got our own settings, which we've
been
working
on. You do that much more
years.
Often with a fantasy game. With fantasy, I've noticed. You do it much more often with fantasy rather than science fiction or...
Well, the reason for that being is a lot of the science fiction games...
Anything else, yeah.
A lot of the science fiction games have very heavily established scenario mm-hmm. settings and have, like, canon that
yeah,
people
like,
try to follow.
Yeah, like, Star Wars, Star Trek. Yeah. Traveler, all that.
Yeah, they have very specific settings. And it's not like the fantasy where it's like, well, we have this setting, here's another setting book for you. By the way, here's another setting book for you. We know you're already inundated with setting books, but we're going to give you another one anyways.
It's hard for them to do anything different. Yeah.
There's very few of them that are actually something mm-hmm. that really takes your attention. But like this, you have, what is it? You have Forgotten Realms, you have Dragonlance, you have mm-hmm. the World of Faerun, you have...
That's Forgotten Realms.
Yeah.
Forgotten Realms, Eberron, you're going to have Darksun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, in fourth edition,
they're making a concentrated effort to...
Keep
it more specialized, because they put out... there is no basic setting for D&D, but they put out Forgotten Realms, and then they put out Eberron, which, granted, is different than Forgotten Realms, and then the next one they're putting out is Darksun,
which is
different than Forgotten Realms and Eberron. So
both of them.
Yeah, Darksun is awesome. What I'd actually like to see...
It's always been my complaint with things like Dragonlance and stuff like that, is that it's fundamentally the same setting as
Forgotten Realms. I wish they'd use Birthright, but they never will.
No.
Birthright would be awesome to see another one. Actually, one that I'd like to see is Al-Qadim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually a good... Yeah, that would be nice.
And
that's different.
The other one I'd really like to see the redo would be Planescape. I mean, for crying out loud.
Yeah, Planescape was crazy. Well, and it was a fun mm-hmm. setting. And there's a lot of things that right now, while I like their plane book, Manual of the Planes, there's a lot of things missing that I would like to see again. And that's why I kept my old Manual of the Planes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, then we got an email here from John. He says my group recently started a new campaign, and my character for this game is a rogue. Rouge.
Does he fly?
He flies and at will connects to the internet. As we approach second level, I was thinking of taking two-weapon fighting as my feat. The power reads that you get a +1 damage while holding a melee weapon in each hand. It doesn't say anything about being able to attack with both weapons or if there's a penalty to the attack with the offhand. I was thinking short sword in the main and dagger in the other. How do you guys read this and how would you handle this at your table? I'm going to talk to my DM tomorrow, but wanted to get your opinion on it since you guys have a lot more experience.
That's all it does.
I played 2nd edition way back when and just started playing again when 4th edition came out. Thanks in advance. Love your podcast. Waiting eagerly for new sessions of Shadowfell.
Wait a minute. If you just do base attacks instead of doing an at-will attack, you don't get an offhand attack anymore?
You don't ever get an offhand attack with
the second weapon. They cut down on multiple attacks.
The reason they did that is because of all the special powers. Mm-hmm. And really,
yeah, the at-wills and the dailies
after
and the
a while, it got ridiculous. Because I could create a fighter or a swashbuckler with two weapons mm-hmm. that could sit there and just mow people down with multiple attacks.
That would churn through people
like
a blender.
Which is awesome.
In third
but not very well balanced.
No.
So they basically, like,
What happens is now, if you have two-weapon fighting, is you get bonus, just an overall just bonus, bonus to damage, or a bonus to, or, you can get two-weapon defense, right. Bonus to your defense.
Or if you're a ranger...
And it's assumed that...
You get special powers.
It's key to remember that in D&D, combat is assumed to not be a, you line up and attack, and he attacks, and then you attack, right. And then it's always assumed you're moving around, you're parrying, you're
doing
so
you
that.
May hit with your alternate hand.
Yeah.
But they're not going to offset. Now... The one cool thing, though, is if you have a fire sword and an ice sword,
mm-hmm.
each round you can decide which one to use.
So you freeze them and shatter them.
Yeah, you could be like, uh-huh. fire damage, ice damage next round. And they're okay with that. Because that's they cool. basically just made it simple. You don't get an extra attack.
There are some powers that classes will get that allow right. you to make multiple attacks. It will tell you when you use the power. It's like
you get to make it
says,
standard.
You know, well, it'll say, you know, two targets. First target, do this. Right. Second target, do this.
And really,
I actually one of the warden power mm-hmm. or one of the warden's encounter powers is actually mm-hmm. you make a standard. You make the attack, the encounter attack.
Right.
If successful, then you get to make a standard attack on another target.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you actually succeed in hitting.
That's how they get around
that
it.
Other target, then
and I think it makes it a lot easier, and I think it balances it out, especially
not,
at high levels.
That also allows you to use...
It did get really ridiculous at high levels.
It also allows you to use a sword and the, you know, I don't know, a parrying dagger, which is going to give you a bonus to defense,
mm-hmm.
but still be able to use that power, and you don't have to do a dice 4 damage. You're using your actual
the weapon.
Blade.
Right, yeah.
Now, but with the magic weapons, that's where it gets awesome, because you're like, I can use whichever one I want.
Yeah.
Well, the magic weapons, the way they have the magic weapons set up with the levels of magic weapons
mm-hmm.
was confusing at first when I first started reading it. Now that I've actually read it really carefully, it's an interesting idea. It makes me wonder why they didn't do that before.
Some of it's irritating because daily powers can only be used so many times on your spread of magic items. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're only able to use one daily power on a magic item, that's not per magic item you have.
That's one daily one. Per day.
So, some of that stuff I wouldn't even bother with. Like, mm-hmm. for an instant campsite, if somebody's used an attack one, and then they want to use their freaking instant campsite, I'm not going to be like, no, you can't.
No.
Though, as combat goes on, every time you don't rest, or you basically... do just a short rest, you can get more uses.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be kind of...
Because that stuff does recharge after milestones.
Right, but it can be kind of... At first, it's confusing for a new person, and still I sometimes have to stop and go, now, wait a second.
Yeah.
I like some of the new stuff with the new system, and there's still some stuff that I have some serious problems.
He did mention Shadowfell, and we have started a new... the Keep on the Shadowfell Redux... It began last weekend.
Finally,
yes. We won't get the second session recorded for another couple weeks at this point because of Christmas. But
I still think everybody should come over and play after Christmas.
Hey, before you go on to the next the next email,
we don't have any more emails.
Well,
nobody loves us anymore.
Well, you didn't have a lot. You lied.
I did lie. I like lying.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a lawyer.
Go
remember?
To they're lying bastards.
Mm-hmm.
Go to D&D. Craft, I think it's called.
D&D Craft?
Yes. .com. This is just a small little site that I found, and really all it is either pictures or little stories, and all they do is they're just to give you ideas. And it's based on, like, the 16th. And so, like, every Monday they have Monster Monday. Mm-hmm. And they'll have a picture of a monster.
Is it just
they don't
the
give
word,
any?
Yeah. The word D
D-N-D.
D-N-D.
Yeah. Craft.com. So it's just a random picture. And it's just to help you think. That's all. It has some forums, too, but I haven't really messed around with it yet. It's not very in-depth, and that's kind of the whole point. The point is just to think. Yeah. It's different. They have some news on there, but not much.
Yeah, some of this art's pretty good.
Yeah, but some of the landscapes I kind of like.
Oh, they have the trailer for the new Clash of the Titans.
They do, and that was kind of neat. Also,
I haven't seen that yet.
I'm curious if anybody knows where I can find, and I've already tried the Game Weird one, but it doesn't have enough modification for me. But I need a calendar creator and not a calendar creator like for the real world, not like January through, you know.
Right.
I need a calendar creator, and if it had moon, you know, lunar stuff
lunar
on
calendar.
It, lunar calendar would be even better. Now, the Game Weird one allows you to do a simple, very simple, and it's neat, but I can't find online
a lunar calendar creator.
Or just any calendar creator that would work for Fantasy World. They have a Forgotten Realms one, they have an Eberron one, but you can't modify those. So nothing too complicated, but something that you can that looks like a calendar, and actually I can add moon, you know, to it and things like that. That was just kind of a side thing.
Alrighty. Well,
I have one more thing to say before we finish up. I don't know if a lot of people know about this. I meant to ask Jeremy about it, but I didn't get around to it. Did you ever read a series of books called The Sword of Truth by Terry Goodkind?
Yes.
Okay, was that the series where they just horribly torture
where
the
characters?
Where they
take the characters and just beat them against the concrete and curb stomp them?
Yeah. Do you realize that they're actually doing a TV series
of
that?
Yeah, I watched it. It's not bad.
Yeah, for those of you out there who read the series, didn't know this, The Legend of the Seeker, it's on ABC. It's been pretty good so far.
Oh, it's not bad. Zed is awesome.
Yeah, Zedekus Suzerain.
Zedekus is awesome because he's just like, they don't fool around. They're not like, oh, he's a great and powerful wizard, and then he doesn't do anything.
He's like, I'm a great and powerful wizard.
Can you fireball them to death? Okay.
Yeah, it just burns them.
It's pretty.
The actors are very well done. I think the guy that they got to play, Richard Cypher, is pretty cool. The lady that's playing Kaelin Amnell is very, very pretty.
The Mord Sith are Kara. Creepy.
Yeah. Do you actually have the books?
No.
Okay. I was just
They're
curious.
Hard to find.
Yeah, that's what I'm finding, because I wanted to get them.
Josh Shire had them.
I've been trying to find
them.
No,
he didn't. He had a different series.
And, he had the Wizard Apprentice series.
There was another series he had.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, but I don't have them.
Yeah, because I've been trying to find the Wizard's First Bookstore. Rule. I looked at a half-price bookstore, and they didn't have it. I actually looked on Amazon, and they had the paperback, and it was like $40 for the paperback.
Well,
like,
the series is actually good, though. You kind of get confused, because now it's the Seeker versus the Keeper.
Mm-hmm. That's book two.
And you're like, okay.
They sound very close.
Also, the world is kind of depressing, because if you die, you just go to the Keeper.
Yeah.
It's like, don't. Die.
Yeah. But,
it sucks that you're old. You're gonna go to the Keeper.
But, the first season seemed fairly lighthearted. I haven't read any of the books, so I don't know
anything. They're not lighthearted.
Yeah, but the first series seems very lighthearted compared to what I would expect. Because I was like, isn't this a series Jim was talking about where he just absolutely horribly tortures the main characters?
Yeah. They didn't really push that as much as I noticed. Because at one point,
they are in the second season.
The Seeker, is tortured by a Mord Sith and is actually tortured so long that she gains his respect.
They did that in the show.
Okay, I missed that one.
Yeah.
But that was horrible in the book.
She tortured him so hard, she killed him in the show. And then she had to bring him back to life.
I don't remember him dying in the book. I just remember that basically it was like, oh, well, you can put up with this? Well, you're in charge now.
Yeah, and in the end of that torture, doesn't he end up killing her?
I don't remember that. It's been a long time. All I know is that they follow him after... Yeah, it's just... They
are nasty.
They're kind of nasty to their... He really doesn't like his characters.
I was just curious.
Doesn't sound like it.
if you have a chance, check it out. You have the Netflix Instant Watch, right?
Yes.
They have the first full series up.
The TV show is good.
It's good, but it's apparently not the same.
Fantasy. Well, I mean, it is and it isn't.
But it's done by Sam Raimi and Rob Taylor.
Yeah, that's what makes it great. It's Sam Raimi.
And it's obvious that he has some influence on it.
Do you remember the original Xena's? Or the original Hercules.
The ones that were really dark.
Where they were fun. Okay, now take out
before the... Before Sam Raimi and Rob Tappert left the show, yes.
Right. Now, take out the silliness.
Uh-huh.
That's basically the Seeker. Well, where it's a lot more serious.
A lot of random flipping around.
Well, no. Take out all that. That's the silliness.
That's the silliness.
I mean, that type of feel, kind of, where it's in a good adventure.
They're going to neat places.
Here's the best thing I can say about it, from my opinion. Okay, you know how Xena had a sword, and she never really used it, right? It's like, haha, I have a sword, I'm going to pommel strike you with it, knock you out, haha. No. This guy's like, haha, I have a sword, I'm going to cut your flipping head off.
Everybody.
Yeah. Everybody. It's stab. Like, I'm going to fight stab.
Stab.
It's like, oh,
I have a magic
sword. I will have to check it out.
Stab. Yeah. It's
I hadn't really heard much about it, so I'll have to check it out.
And then Zed's like, fire!
You haven't seen it yet, I don't think, but one of the episodes, they get a hold of this magic mirror that changes what they look like.
Oh, I did see that one, yeah.
And then he does a spell, and you just watch in the background as this fire ring does this, and you just watch these poor little bodies go,
Feek! Like, the enemy soldiers in the first one are so, I mean, they're kick-ass, but then they become stormtroopers.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, there's so many of them.
And
they're going to be dead. but the confessors are creepy.
Yeah.
Confessors,
they command me, my
what
mistress.
They will do is they'll touch you and then they'll stare at you, stare in your eyes, and
they overwhelm you.
They overwhelm you and you become their slave.
Oh, yeah. Lovely.
It's called confessing.
Yeah, in every way, shape, or form. And they always say this line. They're like, command me, my mistress.
And so, like, they'll confess somebody and then have them, and he'll just turn on all the soldiers.
Yeah, and start killing his own people, his own friends and stuff. They have no control.
Lovely.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I will have to check it out. It sounds pretty cool.
The actress, her name's Bridget Reagan.
It's not very corny either. It actually turned out.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I'm said it kind of has a feel of those very early.
I was.
Where they were kind of neat, and then it got corny after a while. This one so far is just neat.
I was expecting the corny. When I started watching, I went, ooh, Sam Raimi and Rob Tapert, score. This is going to be fun. And I watched it and went, this is not fun. This is really. This is really good.
So far, the effects. Pretty cool. And also, there's not that, you know, where you get that kind of dumb, where all of the
we
sword
just,
fighting.
We just got another email.
Right. you know, where they do all the flipping and all that crap.
No, the sword fighting is
like
very
clang, 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 stab.
Yeah. There's none of that. They throw in the occasional punch and the occasional kick and stuff like that.
And the confessor stabs people with knives, and she's hot.
Yeah. Well, she's very good looking. The actress name is Bridget Reagan, but she's a redhead in real life. And you see her in real life, she's got red curly hair, and she's really
and the
pretty.
More Siths are also hot,
wearing
those
leather
torture you
tight skin tight leather outfits. Yeah, but to
actually
idea,
though, I don't care if the Seeker dies or not.
Well, he doesn't die in the books.
I know, but I'd rather just have Zed do everything.
Zed is really cool.
I'd rather be. Actually, when he got turned into a young man and he declared himself the Seeker,
that was awesome.
That was hilarious.
That was awesome. Did that actually happen in the books?
I don't remember. But there was a naked witch and who basically tricked him, and so he decided, you know what? I need a wife. And found this beautiful woman who happened to be a prostitute.
Yeah.
And then took her out into a random area and built a castle with a wave
magic.
Of his hands.
Yeah, he goes, here's your castle. Oof.
And
all righty then.
Declared himself Lord.
Yeah.
Below Lord.
All right.
Like that.
We're going to hit this last question real quick. We just literally 2 minutes ago got an email in from Sanjian Unkara. We still love that name. It was actually Jason. It's someone named Jason anyway. Said, evening, Ethan. I was just wondering when the new Shadowfell Redux game was going to start. Also, due to having to replace the motherboard, a drive, and the power supply, I have lost Andre's email. So could you please send it to me again? I will do that. I've just started listening to your normal podcast, and I already know that I will have comments and questions for you on many of them. My first question, though, is there a podcast where you guys look at Alpha Omega?
Yes, as a matter of fact,
strangely,
there is.
Yes.
Yes, Jeremy reviewed Alpha Omega back in episode 42.
The
young
book is
role
weird.
Playing, so
it's an interesting,
it's
setting.
A weird shape. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the book is a strange shape.
I know that's kind of whiny, but
the setting is cool. The premise for the game is cool. I don't think we'll ever play it because we'll never have time.
Not.
But the game itself is a cool setting, cool idea, cool premise. And if you have some group that's going to run it, good on you. I mean, that's awesome.
And
we don't have that luxury.
The
here.
First episodes of Shadowfell, like I said, were recorded. I will be getting them up hopefully this weekend. So
I would have to replace all my books though with the that shape book.
Either that or you'd have to have a single bookshelf specifically for those books.
Yeah.
Just take a chainsaw to all my other books and be like, bah!
I just hate being slightly OCD about your RPG books.
What's slightly about it?
Okay, being OCD about your...
I am OCD. Drugs. They have to have
they
the same shape.
Fit.
If they don't have the same shape, I have to put them on different shelves.
Yeah. I'm bad that way.
Or hide it.
Yeah.
I'll have to put it under stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why that sofa with the, where you can put
the
stuff in it.
The compartments, yeah.
The compartments are awesome. Useful, because you're like, I can't look at this book.
All right. Anyway, that's it for the Random Encounters. Thank you very much for listening to the Gamers Haven podcast.
Now that we're an hour and a half over what we were expecting.
Oh, it's all good.
Yeah.
Take care. We'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah, check out the Legend of the Seeker if you haven't. It's an interesting show.
It actually is pretty fun.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven podcast. This has been a Thousand Monkeys production. You can find us on the web at www.canadiancrusaders.com. You can email the show at thousandmonkeysproductions@gmail.com. Visit our website to find our episode archives, our actual play, our main feed, as well as promos, links, and a gallery. You'll also find our RPG Now Pick of the Week, our Amazon Pick of the Week, and you can even go through some of our snippet review episodes. We are also shameless, and if you wish to donate some money to the wonderful Gen Con Fund, or just give money to the show in general, there is also a donate button on our site via PayPal. So visit our website at www.canadiancrusaders.com. The Gamers Haven is part of the Vorpal Network. The Gamers Haven podcast and Thousand Monkeys Productions and CantCon are copyright by Ethan Parker. Gamers Haven is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music for the show is provided by Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. Other music is used with permission under license. Just like Bruce Campbell.